You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Family, let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. One more time, Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing our series called The Secret to Your Dream Life. And I'm going to ask you to do this just one more time. We're probably going to do this every Sunday in this series. Look right here. Look right here. Come on, some of you need to hear this. God has a dream for your life. You did not invent the idea of you. God did. He has a dream and a plan and a purpose for your life. Somebody say, he's talking to me. I'm talking to you. Okay? And listen, here's what we've established in this series so far, that only God's dream for your life, which is your real dream life, whether you know it or not. His dream is your real dream life. It's the only thing in life that's going to bring you the fulfillment that you crave. So listen, here's the secret to your dream life, right here. Here's what we've seen, okay? The secret to your dream life, to knowing and living in your dream life, is you living your life with God. You having a genuine, real relationship with God. I'm not talking about you just being a casual church attender. I'm not just talking about you reading your Bible academically from time to time. I'm saying you need to be best friends with Jesus. I'm talking about relationship. You and God, two people in a relationship doing life together. And so Jesus has shown us how we can do this, how we can develop and grow a vibrant relationship with God, how we can actually live life with him. If you will turn in your Bibles, you've got that there to Matthew 6. We're going to look at verse 6 and watch what Jesus shows us. He says, but when you pray, come on, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, not if you pray. He says, when? In other words, he's saying, this is a given. Prayer is a given, a consistent given for people who say they love God. So when you pray, he says, go into your room, that inner room, that closet, and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. I want you to remember that, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in, everybody say, secret. Come on, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you with the life of impact and significance. So last week, we talked all about how to do that very thing. How to have your very own secret, consistent, quality, alone time and place with God. Today, though, I've got the icing on the cake for your alone time with God. Okay, in fact, here's the title of today's message. We're going to talk all about how you can hear God's voice. How you can hear God's voice. Listen to me, church family. Here's why I say it's the icing on the cake. Because once you begin to recognize God's voice in your life, I'm telling you, once you had even just one encounter with him where you know that you know that you know that you know that he has spoken to you, I'm telling you, it's really hard to go back to a life where you're not hearing him. That's the beginning of the dream right there. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you guys have been circling around that cake for a while, but you haven't picked up the fork yet and taken a bite. Some of you have been sitting around the pizza pie, but you ain't grabbed a slice yet. Some of you bought the Happy Meal, but you went straight for that cheap plastic toy and you ain't dipped into them fries yet. It's time to get a taste. I got like 50 more of those if you want me to. Come on. And I'm telling you, though, once you do, once you begin to recognize God's voice speaking to you, it's really hard to go back to a life where you're not hearing him. Because here's what I know. Every human being ever, whether they believe in God or not, every human being craves an encounter with the miraculous living God. Because we were created to live life with him. You were created for relationship with God. And I'm telling you, when you hear his voice, it is miraculous. It's a supernatural thing that happens in your life. And so I want you to hear this. It is impossible for you to have a real, genuine relationship with God and not hear his voice. Because by very definition, listen to me, it's a relationship. I want you to think about this, okay? And you already know this. A relationship requires at least two people. Is that right? And if you're going to have a real relationship, both people need to be able to talk with each other. They need to be able to communicate with one another. Is that right? How many of you guys have had a one-sided relationship before in your life? How'd that work out? Come on, some of you dudes, how many of you dudes in high school, there was that girl you liked and you tried to talk to her, you tried to start the relationship, you'd go and talk to her at school, or maybe you'd try calling her on her telephone, and you remember it was that landline you had back in the 90s with that stretchy cord, that windy thing that went 20 feet from your living room into your bedroom so you could get some privacy. But then she was one of those families that had the caller ID before most other families. And so she didn't pick up that phone, did she? And she walked away from you when you tried to talk to her in school. All right, now when you were around the guys, of course you were saying, oh yeah, it's going great. Yeah, we're totally hanging out. Right, but she never really talked to you, did she? There wasn't a relationship, was there? Come on, husbands and wives, is there any chance a one-sided relationship would work between you and your spouse? No, not at all. So listen to me. God never dreamed of having a one-sided relationship with you where you do all the talking. Now, he's going to talk with you, okay? And so really, I want you to see this. What we're talking about today is how to pray. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer was never meant to be a one-sided thing, yet that's what so many of us have made it. That's what we've been taught to make it. But prayer is where you talk with God about what's really going on in your heart and where God will actually talk with you about what's really going on in his. Again, it's a conversation with him. And so I'm telling you, you can learn to hear God's voice in your life. And church family, I want it so bad for you. I want this for you. I want everyone who calls the gathering home to have their very own secret time and place, their own consistent quality alone time with God. I want you to have a regular conversation going with God. It is vital for you. So I've got a few points for us today. And now these points are really in the form of questions, because I want to make this so clear and so easy for us to understand how you and I, how all of us can begin to hear God's voice in our lives. All right, you guys ready for number one? Here we go. Here's my first question. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? And you might even say it this way. What does his voice really sound like? Or what's it like when he speaks to us? And first off, I just want to lay some groundwork real quick, okay? I want us to be so clear about something. You can rest assured that our God has always been a God who speaks. And he still speaks to his people to this very day. 15 times alone in the New Testament, Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. But he's really saying, whoever has spiritual ears to hear what God is saying, let him hear what God is saying. And so listen to me. If you've been saved by Jesus, then you have spiritual ears. You just need to start using them. All right, check this out. John 8, verse 47, Jesus says, whoever belongs to God, come on, hears what God says. And one more, in John 10, 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Why do you think he knows them? How's that possible? Because it's a relationship, right? And they follow me. Where do you think they follow him? Into the life he has for them. And so let me ask you a Sunday school question right now. Would we all agree that Jesus is considered to be the great shepherd? And so who does that make us? Bah. We're sheep, right? That's who we are, okay? Well, then according to Jesus, if you've been saved, if you belong to God, then you can hear his voice, okay? So he speaks, and we can hear. But again, I've heard this question a lot. Most of us will ask, okay, but how then? If God speaks to us, and if we really can hear, how can we hear him? All right, church, so let me explain this. I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice from God. Okay, I'm not talking about him speaking out loud to us. However, he can still do that. Like, there are still people that have stories of how God has spoken audibly out loud to them. But listen, this is what I'm talking about today. God will speak to your spirit. Okay, or if it helps you understand a little better, God will speak to your heart. You are a spiritual being, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, he's even referred to as the Spirit of Christ, he will speak to your spirit. And I've got good news this morning. I think most of us already know what that's like. I really do. I think I can prove to you that I'm guessing most of us have probably already heard his voice speaking to our hearts before. You want some proof this morning? Let me just ask this question. How many of you have ever sinned before in your life? By show of hands. Those of you that aren't raising your hands right now, you're lying to us and you're sinning right now. All right, but I've got a follow-up question for all the sinners in the room. Either right before you have sinned or during your sin or maybe right after your sin, have you ever felt like God was saying something to you along the lines of, hey, you shouldn't have done that? Or, hey, what are you doing? Or hey, don't do that. Have you ever heard that voice before? In fact, I bet most of us could articulate word for word what God is saying to our hearts when we've sinned before. Is that right? Come on. So listen to me. It's a bummer that we've all sinned. Here's some good news. God's got grace for us. And here's more good news. You just proved that you can hear God speaking to your heart. I'm telling you, I got this realization back in 2007. And here's the realization I had. Here's the good news. God doesn't just want to talk to you when you're sinning. God wants to talk to you when you're not sinning. Let me say it this way. He doesn't want the only thing you ever hear him say to be, hey, don't do that. He wants you to hear him say every day, I love you. Let's go do this together. He will speak to you when you're not sinning. He wants to speak to you each and every day and lead you away from sin and into the dream life. Again, back in 2007, I remember coming to this understanding so clearly. Okay, I shared last week that around that time in my life, I began listening to one of my favorite pastors, Pastor Robert Morris. I listened to hundreds of his messages over just a period of a couple years. Well, if you listen to him in his messages, he says on a regular basis, he'll say a phrase like, you know, I was talking with God the other day and God just said to me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, I was talking with God, we were hanging out, we were praying and God just spoke to me and said, you know, this. Okay, I was listening to these messages when I lived in Kansas City. I was sitting in my cubicle. I worked for a design agency and I would do design work and I would listen to Robert Morris messages on the computer at the same time. Okay, and every time I'd hear him say something like that for a while, I would just stop. And I'd hit pause, and I would stare at him on the computer. And it's like I tried to talk to him. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean you heard God say to you? How is that possible? What are you talking about? Okay, well, it wasn't long after that that there was a time that I sinned, and I was feeling terrible about it. Okay, but in the midst of that, listen, I remember saying this to God. Get this. This is what I said to God. I said, yeah, I know. I know. I shouldn't have done that. As I was saying those very words, here's the realization that I had, that my very words to God were a response to what I just heard him say into my heart about my sin. Listen to me. In the midst of my sin, I realized that I had actually heard from God and I was now talking back to him and that we were having a conversation. And I'm not kidding. Right then in that moment, I heard him say so loud and clear, and son, if you just make it a habit of coming and talking to me when you're not sinning, I'd love to talk with you then too. So I did. Come on, I shared last week about how I've prioritized alone time with God in my life. And I'm telling you, I can hear God speak to me a lot. I've begun to recognize his voice in my life. Now, as you know, I can still get it wrong. I can think sometimes that I've heard God and it turned out not to be God. But at the same time, I have heard him and it has turned out to be God. Okay, we know this. I'll give you an example. Back Christmas of 2012, Rachel and I were still living in Las Vegas. We were back here visiting my family for Christmas time, and I was dreaming about coming back here to Newton to plant the gathering, but God hadn't even given us permission to leave Vegas yet. We never knew whether that was really going to happen, but I was taking my wife on the Newton tour, and we were driving down Main Street, and we got stopped at the stoplight right here in front of the Fox Theater, and I'm telling you, in that moment, Christmas 2012, I heard Jesus, not audibly, not out loud, I heard him speak into my heart. He said, Brandon, you're going to have a church that meets in that theater one day. And I looked at Rachel and I said, hot pants. God just said we're going to have a church that meets in that theater one day. 8 months later, he called us back here to Newton. And it was two Christmases after that Christmas that we ended up having a miraculous Christmas Eve service right here at the Fox, and it all began to unfold. And we're living the dream now. And so I'm telling you, God will speak to you, not just about your sin. No, he wants to talk to you about your life and about how much he loves you. He wants to tell you about your purpose. He'll tell you about your future. He will plant the dream in your heart, and he will lead you into it. Okay, now, can we just get very practical for just a moment? You guys want to get practical? Okay, listen, my heart is to help you this morning. So again, I'm telling you, I think that most of us have heard God speak to us before, but there's still this question that I've been asked quite a bit, okay? What does it sound like, or what does it actually feel like when God speaks to your heart? What is that experience like, okay? And so listen, I'm not trying to weird anybody out, okay? Again, I'm trying to be very practical. For me and for many other people that I've talked to that hear the voice of God, okay? For me, listen, it's like I hear him whisper on the inside. You hear that? It's like I hear God whisper to me on the inside. It's like, you know how you can think in your head and you can hear yourself think without talking out loud? Come on, you know how you can hear yourself think inside your head? It's like God puts thoughts. It's like God interrupts my thoughts and puts thoughts or words into my heart that I know that I myself did not say. Does that make sense? Listen, again, I'm not trying to weird anybody out. I'm just trying to be very helpful this morning. When I heard, Brandon, you're going to have a church that meets in that theater one day, it was like I heard that inside my head, inside my heart, inside my spirit, and I knew that I myself did not say that to myself in that moment. Okay, and listen, I can prove to you that it's not weird. You guys want to see this in the Bible? Check this out, okay? God speaks to his people this way. We see this in the Bible. The Bible actually refers to that inner voice as a still, small voice of God, okay? In the book of 1 Kings, we're going to have it up here. We have the story of Elijah, one of the prophets, and we're going to watch as God reveals himself to Elijah. Watch this, 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 through 13. So there's going to be a big display, but we're going to see where God shows up, okay? It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, watch his response, he pulled his cloak over his face because he knew he was in the presence of God and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Okay, other translations call it a low whisper. The KJV is the one that calls it the still, small voice. But check this out. The original language, the Hebrew, translates that word whisper as silence, as calmness, okay? You see, when you whisper, you don't use your vocal cords to make the words. You use your breath to do the talking. Is that right? Come on. And so we see God speak that way to his kids many times throughout the Bible. But stick with me. If you want to know why the whisper comes from the inside and not from the outside through your physical ears, it's because when you get saved, when you belong to God, The Spirit of God, the one who whispers, comes and lives inside your life. Come on, you with me? Remember that? Remember John 8:47? Whoever belongs to God, hears God. I've got one more for you. Check this out. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? Come on, in me. We've known this theology since we were in Sunday school, haven't we? Come on, we've known this since we were little kids, that if you give your life to God, God will come and make his home in your heart, right? So I'm telling you, church, if you've given your life to Jesus, then the Spirit of God lives in you and he will talk with you. Okay, here's another question though. Number two, why does God whisper? Why does he whisper? Well, just think about it. When someone speaks in a whisper, you have to get close to them to hear what they're saying. When someone speaks in a whisper, you even have to put your ear close to their mouth so that you can hear what they're saying, right? That's what God wants to do with you. God wants you to be as close to him as possible. The goal is not just to hear God's voice. The goal is for you to have intimacy, to have a deep relationship with God. I'm telling you, he wants you to be close to him. When somebody whispers, you have to lean in. God wants you to lean into him. He loves you. He likes you that much. So here's a third question, though. Okay, again, very practical. How do I start hearing his whisper? How do you start hearing his whisper? Okay, listen, that's easy. You just start doing what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 6:6. Come on, you get alone with God consistently. You go into your very own secret time and place with God. You shut the door, you shut out the noise. You calm yourself and you pray. You have a conversation with God. This is everything we talked about last week. You talk with him about what's on your heart, and then you listen for what God will say to you. Most people today think they can't hear from God, but it's simply for the fact that they're not doing this thing right here that Jesus tells us to do. They're not taking the time to get alone with him, to calm themselves, to shut out the noise, and to pray and listen for Jesus to speak to them. I'm telling you, if they would, everything would change. They'd start hearing his voice regularly. Again, like we talked about last week, read his word. Okay, but now with this understanding, as you read his word, listen for what he might whisper to you about his word as you're reading. And then take some time and just ask, God, what is it you are saying to me? What do you want to say to me right now? Do you have anything? And just be calm and wait on the Lord. Wait for him to speak to you. I'm telling you, he will speak to your heart as well. And look, here's something that I did which really began to help me hear God's voice. Okay, I started having my very own secret time in place with God consistently, consistent quiet times with him where I would worship him, where I would read his word, and where I would pray. But here's what I knew. I knew I was there to meet with him. Okay, I knew, even though I couldn't see him, remember what we saw, that he is unseen? I knew that even though I couldn't see him, that didn't matter to me. I just started treating him as if he was really in the room right there with me, like he says he'll be. I started talking with him like he's really in the room with me, like he says he'll be. Okay, I still do this in my own quiet time in the morning. Like I'm on the couch and Rachel's getting ready for work. She's in the other room sometimes and the kids are asleep, so I don't want to wake any kids up. But I will whisper out loud to God. I'll treat him like he's right there in the room with me and I'll whisper out loud. I do this, man. You know, I share this many times. I like to go sit in the Alco parking lot. And I shut off my car and I just sit in my car. But in my car, I talk out loud to God. I treat him as if he's the real person that he really is. And that is as if he's right there with me. I talk out loud to him. And I do this. I ask him questions all the time. And because he's a real person, I then expect that he's actually going to talk back to me. That he's going to begin to answer my questions. Are you getting this? Come on, so let me explain this in Bible terms this morning, okay? here's what I'm doing. I'm demonstrating my faith in God in a very real way. In a very real way, by talking out loud to him and expecting that he'll actually talk back, I'm demonstrating that I believe that God is real and that he's really with me like he says he'll be. Because if God doesn't exist, then that means I'm just some crazy person who goes and sits in the Alco parking lot and talks to my imaginary invisible friend. But I'm not crazy. Some of you aren't so sure, but watch this. I can show this to you in the Bible. Check this out. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." Okay, you want a good definition for faith? Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he'll do. Belief plus action is faith. Believing that God exists and then taking action and treating him like he really exists, that's faith. It's impossible to please God without that. It's impossible to please God without faith, and anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he, what, church family? Rewards those who, what? Sincerely seek him. Oh, that's weird. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen in Matthew 6 when we get alone with God in the secret place. Why aren't you, I don't know why you guys aren't getting pumped up. Somebody should be shouting, okay? Come on, he is a rewarder. This is unbelievable that he will reward those who consistently talk with him and build a relationship with him like he's the real person that he really is. He'll reward you. And by the way, that's the ultimate reward. Come on, this is the ultimate reward that the King of the universe wants to spend time alone with you and me. It doesn't get any better than that. The dream life and genuine relationship with God are really one and the same. God wants to spend time alone with you. He's a person and he loves you and he will talk with you. He has a dream for your life and you can hear his voice. Okay, now just again, getting very practical. I got a sub point for question number 3 this morning. All right, this is just one more bit of very practical advice to help you learn how to hear God. Listen, write it down. Write it down. Take a journal into your secret place and simply write down your prayer. Write down the thing that you want to say to God. Some of us, we feel like we struggle with how to actually pray and talk to God. I'm telling you, if you just begin to write it down, it will help you articulate what you want to say, and it'll help you learn how to pray to God, how to speak with him. And then do this, though. Listen, do this. You have permission to write down what you believe God is saying to you. Take some time, ask him, say, God, what is it you're saying to me? What is it you want to tell me today? And you have permission to write down what you feel like God is saying to you. Okay, now, you'll probably get it wrong every now and again. But here's what I know. Sometimes you're going to get it right. Sometimes you're going to get it right. And here's what's going to happen. A few weeks later, you're going to come back to that journal and you're going to read what you wrote a few weeks ago. You're going to read what you said to God, your prayer part, where you asked him for something, and you're going to realize, oh my goodness, God answered that prayer. And then you're going to read that part where this is what I felt like God said to me, and you're going to realize that what he said to you came to pass. And in that moment, you're going to know that you know that you know that you know that you've had an encounter, a miraculous encounter with the miraculous living God. And I'm telling you, it's really hard to go back to a life where you're not hearing him after you've had that encounter. Come on, get alone with God. So I've got good news for you today. More good news. We are hooking you up this morning. So we got journals for everybody this morning on your way out, okay? And they're not just like some Mead notebooks or something like that. All right, we got some nice journals for you guys, and we got some Secret to Your Dream Life cards that should help you in your quiet time, okay? Please grab one and take one with you and use it. Some of you are thinking about grabbing it, but you're not thinking you're going to use it. I don't know. I would just set that thing in a place where you're going to see it on a regular basis, so as you pass by and you haven't used it, you feel guilty. I will guilt trip you into the secret place. These are jokes, all right. But take one and use it. Your life is going to change. Now, okay, just one more bit of encouragement today when it comes to journaling. And what I'm about to say should be really obvious, but I just want to be so clear about this, okay? God will speak to you, but when you're writing down what you think he's saying, let's just be clear, like you're not writing any new books of the Bible in your journal, right? God will speak to you, but just because he's speaking to you and you're writing down what he's saying, that doesn't mean you're coming up with any new scripture, right? There will never be a book of the Bible called 1 Brandon. If there was, though, chapter 1, verse 1 would say something like, thou shalt pray short prayers before meals because your boy's hungry. All right, you with me, though? God's word is complete. Thank you, Jesus, that God's word is complete. Amen? Which is awesome for us because that's another way you can know if you're hearing from God or not. He will never tell you something that doesn't agree with his written word in the Bible. If you hear something that goes against what God says right here, then you can be sure that you didn't hear from God. God, I'm just going to use this as an example. God will never say to you, hey, that whole tithing thing, you can forget that. That's not for you. He won't say that because he's already said right here in his word, don't leave that thing undone. But if you hear, I want you to love your coworker and look for opportunities to demonstrate my love to them, then you can rest assured that you've heard from God because that's what this whole entire book is all about. And more encouragement, Satan would never tell you to do that. And you're not good enough to come up with that thought on your own. You've heard from God. Come on, thank you, Jesus, amen? And so let me say this. Some of you right now are hearing some voices that you believe are God and they're not God. I want you to hear this. The Bible says that Satan will masquerade as an angel of light and he will pretend to be the voice of God in your life, but he is not the voice of God. I want you to hear me. God's voice is not that voice of condemnation that some of you guys have been hearing. I know this. Some of us in here have been hearing things like, you're worthless. You're not good enough. I'll never be able to forgive you for that thing that you've done. You're never going to be able to make up to me this thing that's happened to you. I love everybody else, but I just can't see how I could really love you. Lies, 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 and more lies. That's Satan. He is a liar. God will convict you. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from demons. So I'm telling you, God will convict you. His conviction will always come wrapped up in love and grace and hope. His voice will always come from a place of redemption and love and life for you. His voice will always come from a place of a loving dad that says, I love you, son or daughter. I've got you. Of course, I'll forgive you. Let's do this thing together. Let's move forward in the life that I have for you. If you're hearing things that don't line up with that, then you need to take up the authority that God has given you as his son or his daughter, and you can speak out loud to Satan and say, I reject your lies. Get out of my face in the name of Jesus. Do what Paul says. Paul says we are to take every thought captive, every whisper captive. Examine it. You make every thought that enters your heart and mind, you make it obedient to Jesus is what Paul says, which is why, listen to me, it's so important for you to be in this thing on a consistent basis. You've got to be in the Word of God so that you can actually recognize his voice when he speaks to you. So that you can actually know if you're being lied to or not. So you can know what real truth is. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, he sounds just like this. Because he wrote it. This is the next best thing we have to a tape recording of his actual voice. This is the written recording of God's voice to you. He'll speak to you, but we've got to be in this thing so we can, it will help us recognize God's voice in our lives. Church family, I'm telling you, you can hear God's voice. You can. And I want it so bad for you to have your very own consistent, secret time and place with God where you talk with him, where you hear his voice, and where he leads you into the life that he has for you. Once you've had even just one encounter with him where you know that you know that you heard from God. It's really hard to go back to a life where you're not hearing him. So we've got a young woman here in our church named Emily Yunke. Many of you guys know Emily Yunke, and you've known part of her story. She's been with our church here for the last couple of years. In fact, we've even prayed over her together as a church because Emily, for the last several years, has been dealing with a very rare, very hard to diagnose, and rather debilitating illness. It's kind of like she has chronic fatigue syndrome, but it's mixed with all kinds of other things, including severe dizziness. And so she spends quite a bit of her time in bed because she gets up and her body just loses steam like that. You'd never know it, though, when you see her, because she just puts on a smile and she braves her way through the whole thing so much. She's unbelievable. I believe she's going to be here in second service. But I want to tell you part of her story this morning. We've prayed over her many times here and then just outside of here, a whole bunch of us. We are believing that God is going to provide the healing she needs. And so there was a time about a year and a half ago that we do this thing called Disciple Life. It's a leadership training we have for leaders here at the gathering. And there was a group of us. We were doing Disciple Life in my living room, and Emily was a part of that group. And we knew she was struggling. And so we just took some time just to surround her, and we all laid hands on her. And we just started praying for her. We anointed her with oil and started asking God to heal her. And in the midst of that prayer, as I was praying, I really felt like God whispered into my heart and reminded me of the story of Hezekiah. If you remember the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah in your Bible, he got very sick. He was on the verge of death. He cried out to God, and then God answered his prayer, and God said, I'm going to heal you, and I'm adding years to your life. And just in the moment that we were praying for, I couldn't get that out of my heart and my head. And so I just said to Emily, I said, I feel like God's saying you are a Hezekiah, that he's going to add years to your life. And so we have continued to pray over her. And she has been, listen, she's been seeking doctors all over the country. We believe that God can use doctors for healing. Yeah, so she's been seeking doctors out all over the country. What's unbelievable is just most recently, she's discovered, I think it's one of two doctors in the entire country that deal with this thing. Actually, one of these doctors is in Wichita, of all places. What they believe now, again, she's had lots of diagnoses, but is that the right word, diagnoses? It works, you know what I'm saying. What they believe now is they really think they've landed on it, is that the part of her brain that controls orientation and balance has completely shut down. And so she's in the midst of intense physical therapy and kind of mental therapy to retrain her brain right now. But so she gets worn out very easily. Last year, she was up in Overland Park, and she was seeing a doctor there. And I just want to share part of her journey. And so, listen, she's been all in here at the gathering with us. She prays for the gathering like crazy. She was a neighborhood gathering leader. She served in kids like crazy. But it wore her out too much to take on extra serving things right now. But I know she has been praying. Many of you guys know we're believing God here for a huge financial miracle to see the Fox Theater completely reborn. And she's been, she'll come and sit in here for like 10 hours a day sometimes and just pray for God to come and do a miracle here. Well, so I want to share part of this story, okay? She was up in Overland Park. She was with a doctor there, and she really felt like God had begun to speak to her. She was reading a book that I highly recommend on prayer. It's called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. And Mark Batterson is a pastor that lives in Washington, D.C. Their church meets in theaters, like lots of theaters, but they have a story of how God miraculously gave them a theater. And they have a story in his book. He has a chapter called Double Miracle, and it's all about how God provided a place for their church to meet in and how he provided this incredible financial miracle at the same time so that they could actually renovate the place and make it usable for everybody, okay? And so she was reading that chapter on Double Miracle, and I'm going to tell you, this is the email I got from her a year ago that she sent this to me when she had read that. She said, I read The Circle Maker during my last few days in Overland Park. Such an incredible book. While reading the chapter Double Miracle, I suddenly had a strong conviction that the Newton Reborn Fox Theater miracle that we've been praying for and my healing miracle that we're praying for are connected. That thought had never crossed my mind before, and it was so sudden and strong that I felt like it couldn't have come from me. She says, I didn't hear God's audible voice, but it was like he whispered and placed it in my heart himself. Now she says, I fully admit that I also feel a little bit crazy saying that, haha, because how and why would those two things ever be connected? So she says, so I went to bed that night deciding that I'd get up and talk to Jesus about it the next day. While out for a walk that next morning, that conviction was still very much there, and I also still felt as crazy as ever. So I asked God, watch this, I asked God to confirm and clarify that conviction as to whether these two miracles would be connected, if it was from him, or to take that thing away if it wasn't from him. I didn't want to be praying about and believing for something that didn't even come from him. And I didn't want to take steps into something he wasn't leading me toward. I wanted to be sure my heart was aligned with his. You gotta love this girl. She says, before I left for Overland Park, I'd written down a few scriptures / stories that I felt I should study and reflect on while I was there. The story of Hezekiah's illness in 2 Kings 20 was one of those. You may or may not remember this, Brandon, but you prayed part of that story over me one evening during Disciple Life earlier this year. I truthfully don't remember much about what was prayed that evening, but I do remember you saying, I can't get the story of King Hezekiah out of my head. I feel God is saying that like Hezekiah, he's adding years to your life. That came to mind as I was preparing my heart for my time in Overland Park, and I wrote that story down as one to reflect on. Okay, watch. While on my walk, I felt led to open up my Bible to that story while I was praying and asking for confirmation about this double miracle. I specifically looked for the verses about the healing that you referred to in your prayer, and here's what she found. Watch this. She writes, and I wouldn't have even remembered this was in the story. In 2 Kings 20, verse 6, God tells Hezekiah that he will add years to his life. Let's put it up on the screen. That he will add years to his life. And the very next words in that same verse are, and I will deliver you and this city. Newton reborn. She writes, I felt a rush through my entire body the moment I read those words. I asked for confirmation, and I don't think he could have provided one any more clear than that. It was one of those, Jesus, I see you moments. Okay, here's what I want to tell you about Emily. Okay, she's coming to second service. I know this. Oh, she's right. She's been right there literally the entire time. Well, since she usually sits over here, and I was looking for her. Can we invite Emily up here? And Pastor Greg and Rachel, you guys want to come up here? Listen, while they come up here, let me just tell you this. I want you to listen to me, church family. I'm telling you that God will speak to you. I'm telling you that God has miracles in mind for you. I'm telling you that he has a dream for your life and you can live in it. But do you see what this girl did? Man, she spent time talking with God, seeking out his voice and listening when he would speak to her. She got herself in her Bible and even got confirmation for the things that God was speaking to her. You guys can come on out. I want to encourage you, God will speak with you, but the choice is yours. You have to make the choice. Are you going to spend alone time with him or not? Are you going to prioritize his voice in your life? So come on over here, you guys. Emily, I'm just going to let you know, Emily hasn't fully received the healing that that we're praying for, the miracle yet, but part of her dream has come true. I think I can say that because she said this the other day. So while Emily had to step away from serving and kids and being a neighborhood gathering leader, she didn't want to stop serving. And so because she is in her bed a lot, she asked, what can I do for my bed? And so we started giving her stuff to do with the connection cards and helping people get connected. And she's been working in her bed like crazy, helping you guys get connected to church. It's been unbelievable. So much so, she has become so valuable in that connection process that Pastor Greg came to me a few weeks ago, actually probably about a month ago, and he said, please let me hire Emily for 10 hours a week so that she can do this job that I'm asking her to do. And so Yeah, I'm here to tell you that. So we have hired Emily on part-time. We're not going to try and wear her out. She gets to work in bed. It's a beautiful thing, though, right? But she's working for 10 hours a week. And listen, she came in the other day for her orientation, and she looked at me and she said, this is a dream come true for me. Okay, so listen, the full dream hasn't taken place yet. We're waiting on some miracles, aren't we? But in the midst of doing life with God, God still makes dreams come true. He has a dream for your life. He does. And so here's what I'm inviting us to do. We want to welcome Emily into part of the dream. I shared this with her. I didn't tell her this in advance because you don't say these things in advance. But the week that I met her, I felt like God said she's going to be on staff at the church one day. You don't go tell people that in advance because you don't want to weird them out or anything. So, but she's here, and we're so grateful to have her be a part of what God's doing in and through the gathering. Amen? So here's what I'm inviting you to do. Would you stretch out your hands towards her, and we're going to pray just over her and bless her as she steps into this official role. God, thank you so much for our sister, Emily. Thank you that you have brought her to Newton. God, thank you that she saw a welcome home on the wall in the kids' room, and she said, I need to go check that church out. Thank you that it was no accident that you have brought her to be with us. And Lord, thank you that she is going to play a huge role in bringing healing to so many people's lives as she helps them connect with what you're doing right here through the gathering. So we pray, would you bless her as she continues to step into this role and help us help people get connected? Would you do things through her that she couldn't imagine doing on her own? And we will not fail to ask you, God, would you bring every last bit of healing that she needs? Would you bless her doctor as she continues to meet with him? And God, we just trust you to do the supernatural, to do what we could never do for ourselves. Come and pour out your healing and your grace in her life. And Lord, we pray, not because we can come up with this on our own, Lord, but we pray, do a double miracle. Through Emily's life, let your healing and your goodness be on display and let this city be reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all my friends said, amen. Come on, give it up for my friend Emily this morning. I'll let you guys. All right, but hey, real quick, you're not getting out with some other prayer. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Come on, let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? We ask this every Sunday. And I'm telling you, I know many of you, I've heard many stories of how God speaks to you right here and right now. You can hear God's voice. What's he saying to you? Come on, I believe with all my heart, he has miracles in mind for you. He's got a miraculous future in mind for you. He's got deep relationship between you and him just waiting. He's saying, come away with me. Join me in the secret place. I want to speak to you. Church family, I don't care how old you are or whether you feel like you've wasted years or it's too late for you to live the dream. I'm telling you, if you're still breathing, God has a dream for your life. It's not over yet. God has a future and he has a hope. Come on, if you want to step into it more and more, just tell him this morning, let's make a commitment together. Can you imagine if we're a church family that all of us, that we're consistently known and found in a secret place with God? Can you imagine that? Come on, let's commit together. Jesus, we commit to be your people. We commit to diving into the relationship that you always had in mind. You never had in mind a one-sided relationship. You always had in mind that we would be your people, that we would conversate with you, that you would lead us into the life you have for us. God, pour out. I pray even right now, God, as we begin to take steps this week, as we meet with you tomorrow morning, God, I pray it would be, I pray that some of us in here who felt like we have never heard your voice, we would hear your voice tomorrow morning. We'd hear your voice right now. We'd hear your voice the rest of this day, and we'd keep coming back for more. Let us not go back to a life where we're not hearing from you, where we've chosen to step out of the secret place, where we've gotten ourselves too busy with other things. We commit to you. We commit to you. We want what you want. Pour out your life. Pour out your goodness. Have your way, Lord. And we pray, let this city be reborn in the name of Jesus. And my whole church family said, amen. Come on, can we thank God for what he's doing in this place? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.